Freight Efficiency with NACFI's Mike Rothenfrenz.
In episode 12, we're joined by Jeff Baer, founder and CEO of LinkDrive, where we talk about drivers' impact on fuel efficiency, the importance of data in modifying drivers' behavior, tools that can help the drivers be more efficient, the importance of fairness and positivity in driver coaching, and the company's role in Run On Less Regional. Today we have joining me Jeff Baer, founder and CEO of LinkDrive. Hello, Jeff. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
7 or 8 years ago, I remember getting a call from you, kind of jovial, saying, "Hey, Mike, I know you don't know me, but I got an idea for truckers and the trucking industry. How about we meet each other at NTEA in Indianapolis, and I'll show you what it's all about." And I got to tell you, Jeff, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard that, I'd have more money than I've got now. But do I have that right?
Yeah, we definitely. I did. I participated in an unsanctioned ride and drive, sort of at the end of the ride and drive, and I'd rented a. I think it was a budget truck. It might have been a rider. It was a gasoline truck, but and I had the prototype for pedal coach in the cab. I forget. Did you get to go for a ride with me?
I did. Yeah. Yep. Where were you at in your career at that point? Tell us a little bit about that moment, and then how pedal coach kind of took off.
My wife and I decided to pursue this idea. And, so I think I was months from having left my previous job, which was at A123 doing lithium ion batteries. I'd become acutely aware of the impact of the driver on fuel economy, at the same time realizing that getting data off of the truck was much, much easier than it had been previously, as I had been an engine calibrator at Ford. And, those two ideas came together, the idea that the driver has a huge impact on fuel economy, that state-of-the-art fleet management really wasn't doing much effectively at all about that. And, could we take advantage of data in real time to help drivers do the best they can with what they have to work with?
How much influence do drivers really have on fuel efficiency of a big truck?
We usually see around 30 to 35% of whatever the outcome is with respect to MPG has to do directly with drivers and driver behavior.
And how do you know that? Do you have a group of trucks and kind of a common route, or do you just look at a lot of trucks over a long period of time?
It's a combination of looking at the truck and looking at the driver, the roads and the loads, using really real-time information and a whole lot of math to understand what would be a good target for that truck right now. And, then once we understand what would be a good fueling target for the truck, we can understand how much the driver is impacting that, or in other words, how much they're over or under that.
Do you compare drivers to drivers?
Yeah, we compare them to themselves. We compare them to each other. We try to compare apples and apples where at all possible. And we've amassed quite a database in North America showing what different people do in different places at different times.
And what is it that causes the difference between, what causes this 30%?
It really comes mostly from three places. It comes from, the way you bring the vehicle up to speed and the way you accelerate, the way you maintain that speed, avoiding accelerating into traffic only to have to brake, things like that, really good forward awareness. And then lastly, the way you dissipate that speed, right? So you use the fuel to create the momentum, and then you try to preserve that momentum and almost never hit the brakes except in a non-emergency situation. Also, there are still a lot of manual transmissions out there, and our tool works really, really well to help people keep it in the power band. We've got a smart climbing feature to help with the uphills, and smooth is fast, smooth is efficient, and where we can smooth them out across those three areas, that's where we see the biggest benefit or the biggest opportunities to improve.
So a lot of the challenges are getting up to speed and down from speed. So does that 30% then reduce quite a bit if you're on sort of the long, lonely highway where it's just sort of maintaining the speed? Do you, and in those sort of parts of the driving, there's probably not as much difference, right?
Well, there's more than you think, but you're mostly right. The ideal, like get it up to governed speed and leave it, that's obviously great in a lot of places in North America. But, typically what the best drivers tell us, and I'll just put it in their words, they say they only drive as fast as they need to, right? And so for those longer haul drivers, covering sort of more highway distances at speed. You know, what we end up helping with there is helping them to only drive as fast as they need to for the job. There's obviously a perception in many cases where you're paid by the mile that you got to keep those wheels rolling. And that's true to an extent, but if there's no negative impact on, you know, hitting traffic in a major city or missing your appointment, you know, most people find it's a lot safer, a lot smoother, a lot more relaxing. They get there in a lot better mood. So, you know, what sometimes for the long haul guys, what they end up doing is knocking the cruise control set point down a little bit, right? So they're still relying on the tools that the OEMs have provided them to let the truck do its job, but they're trying to keep the truck as relaxed as they can.
Do you have a trucking background?
You know, my father and my brother and my uncle all have CDLs. At different points have been engaged in flatbed operations as well as construction and sort of off-highway stuff. So I started off driving off-highway.
And so early on you were in, you said with Ford and then A123. Did that early trucking experience when you were younger kind of help you select trucking to take pedal coach into?
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, obviously, you know, fuel is a huge operating expense for anybody that's operating a truck. And maybe growing up, I hadn't really realized the impact that the driver had. And, you know, really understanding more about telematics sort of in the early days of founding Link Drive, I realized that there's a big gap there. Company drivers often want to do the best they can, but they don't really have the tools they need to know that, right? So we set off to build a tool that would essentially, using mathematics and, you know, modern computer science, take everything that's out of the driver's control out of the picture, which then allows us to focus on what is under the driver's control. And, you know, again, using positive and near real-time feedback, keeping them in the green, as we say, in a sense, doing the best they can from a fuel economy and safety perspective.
So walk us through the pedal coach system. What is it? How does it work? What is the driver experience? And then a little bit about the results that you tend to see once it's used.
Well, you know, pedal coach at this point is now mostly a feature of the larger system. Pedal coach really is taking data live off of the CAN bus, off the controller that drives the truck, and running it through an algorithm that provides, you know, a best-in-class fuel economy target for that driver to follow. And that's just really the beginning. In a way, you know, I always sort of figured we'd start with that data and maybe we'd broaden out into other places in fleet management, but we realized that the opportunity to work solely on driver behavior is so deep and so rich that, you know, that's where we've decided to stay. And, you know, while a driver following pedal coach is going to save, you know, 5, 10, 12% fuel economy, depending on sort of how they drive normally, that's not enough really to create lasting human behavioral change. So really, what pedal coach is it's actually optional in a sense. What we're really trying to do is to take all the data sets that we can that might reflect driver performance in some aspect, whether it be safety or efficiency or productivity, and, you know, create positive sort of automated, you know, very fair and normalized coaching nudges. And, you know, essentially the driver's going to get from a daily, weekly, monthly perspective, little nuggets that are unique to them based on statistical significance on the data set we have, on things that are important to them or their company that they're a part of, and the things that they're doing to help make that happen. As you know, we do it in a pretty visual way too, so we're not sending around spreadsheets or regressions or, you know, scatter plots. What we're doing is sending around mostly pictures, because pictures worth a thousand words.
One of the things that attracted us here at NACFI and working with you, and then ultimately to work together on our Run On Less regional program that we did last September. So let me just kind of describe for the audience, you know, that. So NACFI, we've talked about this on this podcast from time to time. Every couple of years, we gather up some best of the best trucks and drivers and do a demonstration. And that's usually or always online. And so we share videos and stories from the road and we stream data to people following the run. And so in 2019, we partnered with your company and we put out, there's something like 140 daily reports out to that what the drivers experienced when they were participating last September in Run On Less Regional. So it showed the map, it showed a pie chart of their speed profiles, it showed the weather during the day, I mean, and on about some of the metrics off the truck. So I think you call that My Drive. Is that right? I mean, what is that? And how is that used by, is it used by fleets or drivers or both?
Yeah, it's used primarily by drivers. The fleet obviously would have access to them as well, but it's really a snapshot of their day, really. It's not intended to say whether they did really, 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 really well or really, really poorly. At some level, it gives them credit for things like weather, as you said, or traffic, or really all those things that we've mathematically determined are out of the driver's control that might have had an impact. And really just showing the driver what they had to deal with today really gets around to the first part of creating meaningful behavioral change, which is understanding the driver's motivation, right? And, we can do that. We get to get buy-in from the driver based on our ability to say, we see you out there, we see what you're doing, and, it's the beginning for a, great job.
How big of a challenge is it for fleets to work with drivers? We've done enough effort here, and, everything in life is a bell curve. We're both engineers, right? So the statistics in us will tell us that. And so, I got to believe if, a trucking company has 10 drivers, there's going to be a couple that would really be into this, and a couple are like, just let me drive the truck, and then a whole bunch in between. With Pedal Coach and or, this daily or route map, how does that execute it? How is it implemented? How do fleets use it? Do they use it with only their drivers that want the coaching, or do they go more across the whole board? I mean, you talked about encouraging positive behavior. So it sounds like the whole system's based on, getting more of the good behaviors rather than slapping wrists or trying to change poor behavior.
Yeah.
So walk us through that.
Well, the fleets benefit from it and the drivers use it. I think that's the simplest way to put it. Over the years, we've released various products intended to create, efficient, positive workflows for managers, be they safety managers or fuel managers or even maintenance personas, to help them create these positive interactions with drivers, because we believe in that and everything that we do. And it took us a few years to realize that, these people are so busy in the acts of day-to-day trucking and, the fires that arise when you walk through the door each morning or whatever, from a management perspective, they weren't really looking for more workflow. Even if they could grasp what the possibilities are with the platform, we didn't find that they had a lot of time to spend with it. And, as I reflect back on that and looking at it now, it's really the drivers that are using the product. And to the extent that they're part of a fleet, the fleet benefits from it. And how the fleet uses it primarily is in communication with the drivers. And what we want to do is become the channel for our customers. What we are doing, frankly, is, anytime that they want to interact with drivers, even beyond just performance, we're becoming the preferred channel. Drivers will text us and reach out through our platform to us for sometimes like directions and things like that, because we've found that communication channel is often just so broken. So, we want to own that channel. And to the extent that we can help the fleets disseminate out to their drivers, what's important to them and, why, and really give the drivers recognition for their efforts, that's how the fleets are using us. But make no mistake, we're not creating, more efficient workflows for managers or anything in that way as much as we are creating the benefits of this virtual, driver coach. Imagine a baseball team where all they had was a manager and there wasn't a hitting coach or not a fielding coach or things like that, right? That's how most of these trucking companies are operating. And that's becoming even worse, by the way, I think with the, it's a buzzword, but the Uberization of trucking which is moving into the line haul space, right? This idea that I'm going to aggregate demand. Those drivers that don't work for the company, they're really disconnected from the company goals. So the idea of a driver engagement platform that's based on fairness, statistics, positivity and automation, some of the latest behavioral science practices, is really exciting to our customers.
Yeah, and there's so much variation, right? There are, but for the most part, there's a lot of turnover of truck drivers. And so, I got to believe that part of this engagement, when fleets do it well with you, around primarily fuel economy, they can also gain some benefit because they're helping that, you're helping that fleet driver relationship to some extent.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, as you know a little bit about what we're doing with the Behavioral Insights team, to really go deep on this, you know, what we've learned is that, you know, by engaging the drivers positively, we could really dial up, you know, the happiness factor. And, you know, even in, you know, some of the places these types of projects are going, in other industries, you know, extend sort of the lifespan of some of these workers, right? And you can imagine that might sound like a stretch, but if we can put a bounce in the step of 80% of the drivers that we touch, you know, we've already seen it anecdotally. We hear from drivers all the time that, you know, they start hitting their fuel bonus, you know, based on working with us. And literally they might get a haircut, get a new pair of shoes, things like that. And they're excited to tell us about the progress that they've made. And they're so excited that we care about them. And I got to say, Mike, like that is literally at the core of everything we're doing. So we want to be a tool for the drivers, you know, that the fleets can benefit from, that really drives up that happiness, you know, and that's in a way where we're taking the product, you know, to drive more gamification, more fun, you know, actionable insights are cool. But, you know, to put a bounce in the step of a driver and sort of mitigate a lot of these problems before analytics might predict them is where I want to live.
It sounds good, but boy, you know, this is a pretty tough business, right? So trucking, you know, we always hear trucking's tough and it's hard and testosterone driven kind of thing here. And, you know, some might be listening to this going, happiness and trucking? What are you guys talking about? But no, I get it. And you know, I read in one of your announcements recently, you were talking about fairness, positivity, and automation, right?
That's correct.
What is that about? I mean, I know we just were poking at that a little bit here with, you know, being fair and positive, but the automation part, I don't think you've discussed yet.
The fairness part is important just because every driver is doing usually a quite different thing every day, maybe the same thing in a different direction, right? But you've got to really be able to compare apples to apples. And so, you know, we look at the data in a way that allows us to do that. The positivity, as I've tried to express here, is a part of everything we ever have done and everything we do. There's enough negativity. The brain, as the psychologists tell us, is, you know, like Velcro for negative information. It's part of our evolutionary, part of our evolution, I guess, you know, to be able to respond to threats, right? But mm-hmm. What we can also do is use positivity to sort of rewire that in a way, you know, to create, create that happiness in a way, to create that positive experience that is going to put the bounce in that step.
It is really important. And I'm glad we're talking about it. Let's go back a little bit to, you know, where maybe you're headed in the future. There's a lot of disruption going on. And NACFI, we've been right in the middle of trying to help the industry with things like connectivity, electric trucks, or, you know, zero emission trucks in general, or, you know, and even self-driving trucks, or, you know, the sort of the evolution to more automation in trucking. What do you see there? How's that going to affect your business? And what sort of your thoughts going forward?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, you know, we recognize that what the driver experiences today is rapidly evolving, right? And as that driver experience changes by virtue of what they're asked to do with the truck or what powers the truck, you know, what we want to do is sort of be at that, live in that space where we're helping the driver, you know, using these latest behavioral science approaches that we talked about, right? So from the beginning, the algorithm that drives Pedal Coach has been agnostic to the type or power base of the truck. You know, the same mathematics really that works for a 15-liter, pretty conventional 15-liter diesel engine by any of the manufacturers here in North America, you know, also works with compressed natural gas. It works with spark ignition. You know, it's capable of working with electric vehicles, and you know, we've proven that as well. You know, it works, you know, with, you know, simply just looking at the power into the system and the speed out of the system. That's the first sort of order for everything we do. So whether that power comes from diesel or lithium-ion batteries, it doesn't matter to us. And there are nuances, and I haven't driven a lot of EVs yet, although I did come out of that space beforehand and when it was just nascent. And, you know, for example, when you let off the accelerator pedal in an EV, that's pretty much a signal to the control system that you want to brake, right? Or at least regenerative brake. That's very, very different than a conventional truck, be it an automated manual or an automatic transmission, where there might be some benefit to coasting. Even breaking the torque from the transmission, right? So all these things, you know, are going to flow into our system, and all the driver is going to have to do is continue to keep it in the green from a pedal coach perspective. And as we continue to learn and drive more fun and gamification through the behavioral insights interaction, I think that'll tie it all together. From an autonomous vehicle perspective, you know, we very much believe that we're helping the driver become superhuman at what they're uniquely good at. At the same time, the OEMs and the other vendors might be starting to automate some of the tasks associated with driving that might be boring to some people, or maybe error prone to a human that might lose interest after a few hours. And so, you know, we're not afraid of that role of the driver evolving. We want to be the ones that help those drivers be successful as these platforms change.
Yeah, I get it. And, you know, some look at the lower energy costs, say, of an electric truck versus diesel, that we shouldn't worry about, you know, energy efficiency in these new trucks. And, oh, it's so opposite, right? I mean, every little bit of efficiency, whether it's truck driver or even like low rolling resistance tires or aerodynamics, that all helps with this range of the electric truck, which is like one of the biggest barriers. So that's great to hear. Hey, before we run out of time, you just mentioned it, and our paths almost crossed like 15 years ago. So there's kind of an interesting story, and I want to ask you about it. You and I were both ahead of our time, I think. So I haven't told this story to many people, but I was part of bringing the Navistar E-Star small truck from Britain to the United States. And, you know, it's since out of production, but it was all electric delivery van. I really felt like it's the kind of product that really is starting to deploy now.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, how much has changed in that time, but in a sense, how much has stayed the same. And I guess when you look at that urban delivery cycle, it does make a lot of sense. I know you guys are doing some great work studying about where electrification might make sense first, but you know, the way the batteries have improved, not just in cost, but performance, to the extent that you might be able to take advantage of high rate opportunistic charging, I think that really, really opens up that space. And boy, you can see other people think that too, because obviously a lot of investments have been made, and we obviously are excited to see that, and to, you know, really to see what it might mean for the driver.
Even in class 8, with, you know, as we talk to drivers driving the new eCascadias and other Volvo lights and others that are out there, of course we got to work on lots of things that, you know, with any new sort of transformational kind of product, but we were both part of something that's now emerging so long ago. I guess the longer we stay in the market, the more of those will come back our way.
Absolutely. One thing that I want to note is that with these electric trucks, and it is great to see it happening, one of the things is, and I hadn't really thought of it this way, but was talking to a former colleague a few weeks back, and we got onto this point where, you know, electric vehicles, electric trucks, actually get cleaner as they get older, which is an interesting theory. But in a sense, it's going to be true to the extent that the grid energy becomes cleaner and cleaner over time as renewables are adopted more and more. And so when you think about the carbon side of the equation, you know, which, you know, conceivably a lot of these people are making these investments, I love the idea of a truck that as it ages, as it's depreciating, also in a sense getting cleaner to operate, you know, based on the cleanliness of the electricity.
When you think about your journey here of being a guy with an idea, calling somebody like Mike Roth and getting them to ride in Indianapolis to now, you know, a business that's helping trucking and, you know, selling product and clearly out there, what advice would you give yourself, you know, your old self back then? What would you say, Jeff, watch out for this, watch out for that, if you had a time machine?
Well, I think one of the things I would have done earlier is, I think you might be aware that we've adopted the ambassador program, we call it, you know, where, you know, we've got a pool of drivers, you know, they get new releases from us sort of before the customers get them, in a sense, to test things. And, you know, I kicked around in the beginning when we first put money into this, to buying a truck or leasing a truck and getting a driver on the staff. And I think looking back, I know it sounds kind of simple, but I would have done that right away. Because, you know, I was a little bit afraid of, you know, getting distracted from, you know, building a business. But, you know, given that the driver is so core to our business, you know, I would have sort of put one on the payroll right away, I think. And the only second point is, rather than spending a few cycles trying to build better tools for managers to do what we thought they'd want to do with their drivers, I would have cut straight to, again, working directly with the drivers as we are now in a way, right? And you know, recognizing that that's our user and you know, our reason for existing.
Hey, Jeff, thank you very much. You guys are doing great work. Keep it up, and thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks very much, Mike.
Freight Efficiency with NACFI's Mike Rosen Friends.